We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We want to play.
This is what we were getting ready for all season, to be honest with you.
Score! Game-winning goal in overtime number 5.
Disappointing we didn't get to play tonight. So 11 o'clock to me, we'll have the same emotion there tomorrow.
Dale Arnold.
Mutt here.
SEC is competing for our players to play. Our players want to play. I do believe the SEC wants to play.
Go Tigers.
Rich Keefe.
And again, New England's 5-11.
What?
I think we all know why New England will be 5-11.
No!
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Feistiness and F-bombs.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour 3, Mutt and Hart in for the boys. The noontime hour. Formerly back in the day, the lunchtime hour during Mutt Merloney. Not that anymore. But Andy Hart is here. We're yapping about a bunch of stuff. Bruins and Canes tied at 1. We'll update that game between the second and third period. It's not a high noon hot take. I know we have a high noon hot take sounder and you guys run, or heartburn where Andy comes on. He's like, I'm mad about this today. No one brought me lunch.
That's
my son's baseball team stinks.
Well, like, I have a question. Hey, are you hot about
you
it?
You said it during the break. I didn't.
That's off air and on air. Two different things. Poor kids could be listening.
He's not listening. He's doing something else.
So we could take a different approach to this. Are you hot about your annoyance?
It's not. It's like a hot suit.
He's the worst
mild
salesman
take.
Ever.
I'm an honest salesman.
It's a tepid take.
I'm honest to a fault.
Yeah, you buy this TV, it could be broken takes. By the end of the day.
A lukewarm, tasty.
Top 12 tepid takes.
Yes. That's not a bad one.
I like it.
But I guess the question
quite the alliteration
for both you guys and for the audience, 617-779-7937. If the Big Ten is going to cancel college football, as it did yesterday, all their fall sports, how are they still practicing? Like, I don't. If you can practice, Andy, why can't you play?
You can dodge a wrench. You can dodge a ball.
Yes, well, I'm serious, though.
I don't really have.
Give me another example.
You and
so
I have
during
done...
the break, Randy Etzel, head coach at UConn, tweeted out a picture of one of his players lifting weights in the gym at University of Connecticut in Storrs.
Well,
if they can't play football, why can they all lift weights together?
We're talking about practice.
I'm asking you, practice.
Involved. There's distance.
Is there
involved.
Distance in a football practice?
Well, but they're not contact practicing. They're distance practicing.
But they're
working
out. They're on the field together, not in some sort of magic face mask. They're wearing football helmets and playing football near each other. Like this. So a cornerback's not guarding a wide receiver?
Oh, I don't think they are. I don't believe they are. They're certainly not lining up in the trenches, and you got 5 offensive linemen against 4 defensive linemen with, you know, breath, the old NFL films.
I didn't say in the trenches, but I mean, so just 7-on-7, basically, like,
I think they're, I mean,
skill guys throwing around.
There's even talk of that, you know, like 7-on-7 is more okay. I've heard it in the town.
In Vermont, they're saying they're going to play with 7-on-7,
Massachusetts.
11-on-11 high school football.
I've talked to high school coaches that have heard, I don't know whether it's how far down the road they are, but they've heard, yeah, maybe, who knows, we'll have 7-on-7, blah, blah, blah. So I think there's a difference, but the mixed messages, we've talked about this since day one, March, whatever, the first time I did, but a Monday night, Mutt at Night, the mixed messages, oh, you can do this, but you can't do this. Or,
yep.
You know, whether it was Marty Walsh saying, good job staying home, but bad news, nobody has the antibodies, so you got to keep staying home. Or the schools, everything 6 feet, 6 feet, 6 feet. Schools have announced that desks can be 3 feet apart. Like, the messages change. You know, masks, they work, they don't work. This Fauci, this won't be a problem, this is a problem. And they're all scrambling. They're all scrambling out of fear. They're all scrambling out of PR. Like, what looks okay? What can we get away with? I mean, I just said to you, Michigan was practicing while announcing they weren't practicing. Like, so the left hand, the right hand, and I don't fault them. Because we look at this in our own, like, simplistic, you got ADs that are making $100 million type decisions, like games are gone, revenues are gone.
Well, the ADs aren't making the decision, the school presidents. The ADs have no decision. I think the ADs would say, God, please let me play because my budget depends on the college football playing this year.
And the fact that Ed Orgeron Joseph players want to play, players are always going to want to play, right? That's where adults have to step in sometimes. Right? That's just the reality. Well, football players want to play.
What if it was flipped around? Because there was... what if college football wanted to play and the players did this, you know, hashtag, and they didn't, hashtag we're not safe.
Well, some did. And it was early on, remember,
but
on
not
the Pac-12,
recently. The big
some
players,
of those players.
And there was a feeling that those players did, and the offensive lineman from UCLA has been very vocal about this. I forget his name. But they almost want to start, like, their own players' union out of this. They're taking the pandemic and trying to turn it into a way to unionize against college football,
and
which college football is not going for. Good luck with that.
No, and they shouldn't. I'm sorry. They shouldn't. So the football players become a union and they make decisions that affect swimmers and track and field.
Nope,
like, no,
nope.
I'm
you're
sorry. There's
student
ADs
athletes, your athletes, whatever. You're not decision makers.
You get screwed at times, and we're opening the doors towards you can take advantage of your likeness and make some money, but unionizing and, like, you now have the power and you're going to collectively bargain.
No thanks.
I can't go down that road. But I also, like, even Steve Adazio out at Colorado State.
He's had a rough run.
Rough run, and some of it is football culture, racial, but then there's also just he doesn't wear a mask. Like, he's not treating the protocol seriously of COVID-19, corona, whatever you want to call it. Like, so there's so many layers to this that I think that's what we get caught up in. Like, no one really knows what's safe, what isn't. What is our plan as a team, as a university? Is the plan the same? Is football going down the same road as, for example, Pac-12 canceled everything until January 1st. So that means basketball is canceled.
That means they will not play Pac-12 basketball, and that's a big deal in college basketball.
Will they be practicing? You know, because
I don't know.
Locally,
and Big Ten's practicing still.
Even locally, I'm sure you've followed this. The state of Massachusetts has high risk, moderate risk sports, different things. Like, so, baseball is allowed to start, but football and cheerleading and basketball, I think, are like the three high risk sports.
I thought hockey was in there.
I think they're a tier down. Okay. I think they're one tier down. But everything's tiered, and, like, what are we allowed to do? But it also doesn't matter because you know how the basketball teams are getting around it? They're playing in New Hampshire. Ask Christian Fourier. I believe it's his daughter's on an AAU team. I know some of my son's friends are on AAU teams. They just drive up and play at Hampton Beach. They're playing in New Hampshire.
Yep.
And then they drive back home after playing basketball and sweating on each other and rebounding.
Which is super good. I'm sure, like, the state's thrilled about that. Yeah.
So there's so many of these confusing mixed messages, and we're just seeing college football. Now, they have the other issue where you brought it up earlier for the lack of money for schools. Oh, like, that's such a factor.
They need the revenue, man.
Side of that is the massive parachute filled with money that can we actually give this up? If we're college football, can we give up hundreds of millions of dollars that isn't just – people like to think, oh, you know what that does? They put another TV screen in Trevor Lawrence's locker. They redo the No, that actually pays for scholarships to fund the bulk of the athletic program.
Andy, every other sport not named college basketball gets funded by college football.
Right.
Whether it's baseball, softball, cross country, soccer, field hockey, lacrosse, up and down, it gets funded by college football. Those sports don't happen without college football.
That's why if I'm any athlete in college, I'm hoping that football plays because I think there's going to be massive negative effects on me. My baseball scholarship, my track scholarship, my, you know, Nike wind pants that used to be free and no longer those. Where'd those go? They seem to have dried up ever since we didn't play the football season. Like, there's just going to be these ramifications. And I still question why. It seems like, in a weird way, you know who you could blame for this?
I'm dying to know.
Erod.
Oh,
I think
yes,
that has
yes,
played
yeah,
a major
about this
factor,
yesterday.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I don't know that people really tie that myocarditis.
Myocarditis, yes.
That he, you know, first was he's going to come back and then he's not going to come back. And, you know, we didn't know exactly what it was. Then our own Rob Bradford broke the news that it was myocarditis. And
Rob had it himself at one point.
He did. 3 to 6 month recovery. But numbers are still low. Everything I've read.
Well, 15 Big Ten players have already been labeled with this myocarditis, which freaked out the Big Ten to decide, you know what, we're not playing football.
But the numbers are curious, and I always say this gets back to my theory on concussions, and people can call me irresponsible all they want because everybody likes to call me irresponsible.
You're irresponsible.
Because I like to just think. I like to spitball and actually, I don't know, look at differing opinions and maybe figure out what's going on, question things. Concussion rates went up when? When they started, you know, diagnosing concussions.
Testing for concussions.
Right.
Yeah.
Weirdest thing. And I don't mean to sound like the president. That's testing. But I've used the example. Every year at the Combine, somebody's career ends because they go through that really intense medical process and find out your third ventricle of your heart isn't working right. hasn't been working right for years, but you never had this really intense, I don't even know, EKG or MRI of the heart that you get before some team invests a draft pick in you.
Sure.
Right? So there is this intense scrutiny on these players and more testing and, oh, you had, we got to look at your heart now. I don't know how many of these guys, maybe they had a separate virus.
Well, this goes back to, so you said mixed messages, going back to the beginning of where you started with this. Okay.
Yes.
How about the mixed messages from the medical experts here? So you have the Tuscaloosa doctor and now the Duke doctor yesterday saying, not only can you play with a COVID-19, the Duke doctor's coming out and saying, yeah, you can play fall sports, no problem. The Tuscaloosa doctor about the myocarditis said that you get this after any sort of virus.
Right.
That you get, like, I don't know if that means a cold or
the flu, whatever, any virus.
That your heart is in trouble for 3 to 6 months potentially after the flu. Well, I'm 40 years old. I never heard that.
Right.
So have they been looking for that in athletes? So let's say a college athlete last year tested positive for the
Thank
flu.
Thank you.
Were they looking for that?
No.
So is myocarditis now a product of the scrutiny of COVID-19 or because we're getting smarter as medical people, whatever. But on top of that, so that those two guys say that. The West Coast Conference says we're not playing because our players are unequivocally at risk of this. So how can, forget us as fans or as dumb guys on the radio, how can you make a decision if two different doctors are telling two different leagues things and those leagues are making decisions of what those doctors say?
And you reference
who's right? Which medical expert is right?
I believe he even articulated, I'd really like to see the information they used to decide to cancel.
Absolutely.
Like he
No, the SEC commissioner said that. I look forward to finding out why these...
I think a doctor did, too.
Okay, well, the SEC commissioner, Greg Sankey, said the same thing.
Because you get information. You're being a responsible leader, whether you're an AD, a president, whatever. You bring in all the information. You're being responsible. You want to make the right decision. It's not like you want to be flippant with this, but your information tells you one thing. And all we keep hearing is that term data points. Oh, what are the new data points that, you know, pushed people in a certain direction?
Yep.
And uptick in this and uptick in that. I think there is some genuine curiosity between some schools, leagues, and doctors and medical advisory committees as to what are they look? Should I see what they're seeing? Like the Big Ten people and the Pac-12 people. There's probably some concern with the other... I'm advising this league one way based on everything I think is accurate and true. What are they using? Should I know what they know? What am I missing here?
Yeah, why isn't there one governing body that is making the decision? You know, Shime asked the question, you know, one of the emails, is the NCAA going to step in at some point and say, well, the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12, they want to play. But what does their medical expert say?
Right.
Is eventually... the guy who shut down the Big Ten, the guy who shut down the West Coast Conference, the guy who shut down the Pac-12, is he the guy that NCAA listens to, or are they listening to the Duke doctor, the Tuscaloosa? How does that work?
And I can tell you, this isn't the first time we've seen something like this. A minor example locally, Reggie Lewis, right? You can find a doctor that tells you one thing or the other thing.
Well, there were two at that time. I remember correctly, like there were two different doctors at that point saying two different things.
Right.
And they came on the Big Show with Glenn. And they had different doctors on trying to figure out exactly what happened here.
And he chose to believe a doctor that gave him an opinion that he wanted to play, right? Players always want to play. Like, we mock players like, oh, J.D. Drew is going to be... Players
and don't we all look for a second opinion that makes us healthier? Like,
I don't
like that first diagnosis. Let me go talk to somebody else.
Right. And so that's... And I agree with you, the curiosity here, because we've had this question politically. You know, why isn't there a central leadership from the national government, right? That's what we're lacking. That's why Europe's mocking us now because we can't get our bleep together. Well, if this is about fear and potential litigation and liability, don't the lawsuits go all the way up the ladder to the NCAA? You're the governing body.
Yeah, you're not signing a waiver saying I'm not going to have a lawsuit against you if something happens.
So
yes.
Why is the decision up to individual commissioners if the person liable is the NCAA? If that's going to be the one that I would guess has some massive umbrella insurance policy that would be on the hook for these lawsuits.
And
somebody sues, the NCAA is liable. So shouldn't the NCAA be making decisions?
And it's a great point because they're trying to make the money off of it. And how can you say, we're okay with the Big Ten other leagues shutting down because of medical reasons, but we're also okay with, in the same breath, other leagues playing? Like, that is really, really inconsistent. And the myocarditis part of this, I don't know the answer to it, but, like, how come, Andy, we've heard of Erod testing that he has this myocarditis and he'll be okay in 3 to 6 months. There's been many other baseball players tested positive. As far as I can tell, nobody else has been tagged with this.
Nope.
So is it hereditary? Does it only come up with COVID? Like, I feel like there's too much unknown left with myocarditis for you to definitely say for sure, yep, we have to shut down sports because of it. And if that's the case, why are there teams playing right now?
And I would wonder, and you brought it up, that it's a result of a virus, not necessarily the result of the coronavirus, but it's the result of a virus.
That's what one doctor said, right. But I don't know.
I've read that in multiple places. Okay, I'm going with my sources.
Okay.
So is it possible that some, you know, we see deaths in football. Let's stick with football. We're talking football. We see deaths in football in training, in workouts, in training camp, whatever, over the years.
No doubt.
Is it possible that while it wasn't looked for, that these guys had myocarditis because they had the flu a week earlier, a month earlier, 4 months earlier? And that the reason they passed out from heat exhaustion or couldn't breathe or had some issue is tied to that?
Oh.
And now you go back and look at it differently? Just like, because right now that's, we're looking, we have the microscope. The microscope is out and you're
looking
at everything.
It's a great question. I think it has to be asked now if you're looking back at this stuff, you know, how closely are they looking at it? And then, you know, do they find it just because of COVID-19? Are there now going to be different rules for athletes when they get the flu? When they get a certain virus.
Yeah. How many NFL teams every year?
I don't know the answer to that.
Their injury report says flu-like symptoms, right? So they think they may have had the flu. So do those guys now have to be watched for 6 months? Could they have myocarditis?
Theoretically, yes. If you believe the Tuscaloosa doctor who said that this is a common thing and we've known all about this and that like 9% of athletes die from cardiac arrest tied into myocarditis, then theoretically, we should have more than one case.
You know what it feels
point,
like we're going through level. As a country right now and as a society? You know, we always joke about it. Something's wrong with you. Something hurts. You're whatever. You feel a weird pain below your left nipple. So you go to WebMD and you type weird pain below
left
nipple.
Don't go to WebMD.
I'm going to die.
Don't Google it.
That's where we are
get
now.
Get up in a stupid circle. What?
Now, the flip side of that is what I do,
it's
which
a
is terrible.
Well, this is a little different. It's a pandemic and even the doctors don't know.
No, I know.
Like, the experts can't
but they're
tell
saying,
you know,
there's a chance that 1% of 1% could die from this. Okay, well, 1% of 1%, what are we doing here? Like, 1% of 1%,
okay,
their plane could crash, their bus could crash.
This is when it becomes political, because if you want, you know, a certain political party to rule, then you say, well, how much is one death worth? And you play that game over and over and over again, whether it's schools or sports or anything else. Meanwhile, Ed Orgeron, head coach of LSU, Shine Time, we have Coach O.
Yeah,
he's ready
coach
for
o,
football in the SEC.
I do know this.
Yeah, yeah.
SEC is competing for our players to play. I do believe that we have the best protocol for our players. Our players feel safe on campus. We only have a few players that are sick right now. They get the best care. Our players want to play. I do believe the SEC wants to play. I have to give it to our commissioner for waiting to get the most information and to make the correct decision for our football team, and I do believe he will make that.
See, and that part on Odrin's amazing to listen to, is President Trump said with Clay Travis, he's central casting for coaches. Like, I listen to him talk all day. I give the, whether they play football or not, yesterday was too early for the Big Ten to cancel. You know, you, me, and Dale were here when we had the AD of Bowdoin on.
Yes.
And my big thing at that time was, dude, way too, you're going to tell me today you're going to cancel sports? Like, it's way, way too early to do that. Yesterday was too early for the Big Ten and the Pac-12 to say we're not playing. There's too much unknown. Why couldn't they wait, Andy, a month? Because this thing changes on almost a daily basis, an hourly basis. What was the point of canceling yesterday other than, see, we care about kids. We don't want kids to die. We're not letting them play. They can practice, but they can't play. What's the point?
That's a question I've had the last few days. Like, what was, you know, the little ball at the top of the hill that somebody pushed that started picking up
and
steam.
It wasn't UConn, because UConn was desperate to cancel. It wasn't UMass, because UMass has independent schedule. It wasn't those schools. That wasn't
the ball. Influenced the MAC, and then, oh, you know, the Big Ten. Remember all the, they've already voted, but they haven't voted, but it sounds like it's 10-2 or 12-2.
Again, the myocarditis, MAC canceled right away, they said unequivocally because of the heart issue.
And I do
players.
Think there was the influence of, and I don't, the Indiana offensive lineman whose mother went on Facebook and they were sort of talking about
but
how
serious
it is.
But she wasn't even that negative. She said, look, you follow the protocols, but I'm just telling you, guys can still get sick.
Right.
She wasn't negative about Indiana.
But I think
though,
people see that and it puts a face and a fear to, You know, the what could happen.
That
if.
Could be my son.
Yeah, that could be. And maybe she's okay with it, but if a different person gets it, maybe that's the impetus for the immediate lawsuit. And I still think this all gets back to litigation. They're all scared to death that there's going to be lawsuits and lost money and
I
insurance.
Think that's part of it, and I want to go down this road, you know, today. But I do think the other part is political. I think a lot of these college campuses, Andy, are there's a certain political lean amongst a lot of college campuses, and that's they're right now, not that they're rooting for COVID-19, but they are much more. They want to take it seriously because the president isn't. Like, and I think that's a big part of a lot of liberal college campuses, especially out west where the Pac-12 yep. shut down right away. And you look at, say, the SEC. Well, where do the politics align where college football is still alive versus college football shutting down? And I hate that it's become that. But other than the fear factor, like you said, that's the other thing that's hanging over this is the politics of it.
Now, do you buy into Coach Orgeron and Coach Saban and some of these people that say, you know, they're going to get the best – support care protocols with us.
Andy, I do.
I do too.
I think that college football players who can focus on college football have something to look forward to and use that as their reason not to go to the college parties, which are still going to happen. The college events still going to happen. Without that, what's going to stop more players from getting COVID-19?
But even more than that, they're going to get tested. They're not going to get tested
if
they're...
And it's a nice, strict schedule,
yes.
too, right? You stick to that schedule.
And I'm a big believer in all of that, and that's part of my argument locally for kids. Get them in a structure. Get them going to school, because I think if they don't have the structure, there's more chances where they're not going to be in places with masks and social distancing and
I agree with that. It was
all of that.
You know, and it's two different... Like, Booger McFarland said, you know, he would not let his son play.
He would or wouldn't.
He would not. He said, there's too much unknown. Why can't fans be there but players can play? Well, because the players are going to be tested. The fans aren't tested, so it's a totally different thing. But I'm with you. I'm with Fourier. Like, if my son was a college athlete, I'd feel very comfortable looking at the numbers that he's going to be okay, and he's going to, if it's a big-time college school especially, he's going to be tested. He's going to be in a basically
right.
a college campus is a bubble anyway, isn't it? If they kept the kids home, but the players were on campus, they're in a great spot to sort of get through this thing okay.
Oh, but that's a separate issue that I have. We're actually in the reverse right now where there's places going down the road of they're going to have school but not play football. If you don't have students on campus and it's not safe for students, now I don't think you should be playing sports because they are student athletes. And if there's no student to it, then he's just an athlete. Now, that's a separate issue.
We got a bunch of calls on this. Want to come back and take your calls at 617-779-7937, the phone number. And the bigger question is, do you think there'll be college sports this year? There's still three holdouts here. Will that stand up? Can the SEC, can the ACC, can the Big 12 stand and play college football this year? Can they play college sports? We'll get to that and your calls. Mutt and Hart in for the guys here on WEEI.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI and on WEEI.com. And it's brought to you by Shaw's Just For You. This week, Shaw's Just For You members can get four 12-packs of Pepsi or Schweppes Seltzer. Only $11 when you activate the digital coupon. Must buy four and limit four per customer. Bruins and Hurricanes playing game one of their best of seven Stanley Cup playoff series. We got 10:54 to go in the second period. We are all tied at two. Bruins had a 2-1 lead. Carolina scores shorthanded, so we are 2-2 now. About halfway through the second period, we'll react to the second period between intermissions here with Mutt and Hart in for the crew. Red Sox losers last night, 8-2 your final at Fenway. Game three of their best of four against the Tampa Bay Rays tonight at 7:30 here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Zach Godley on the mound against 2008 AL Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell. Celtics made it four in a row. They beat the Grizz yesterday, 122-107 in the Orlando bubble. Jason Tatum led the way with 29 points. Their final regular season game is tomorrow at noon against the Washington Wizards. Some college football news, according to Brett McMurphy of Stadium. The Big 12 is still planning on playing college football this fall. Conference games will start September 26th with the option to delay the start of those games until October 10th. Trending also brought to you by the Dana-Farber Brigham and Women's Cancer Center, where everyone on your team specializes in your type of cancer and works to create a personalized care plan just for you, a plan focused on keeping you safe and defeating your cancer. Learn more at youhaveus.org. That's trending. I'm Mutt with Hart. This is WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Ready for more? Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Picking through the wreckage of this college football, it is Mutt and Hart in for the guys here on WEEI. Your phone call is 617-779-7937. We'll ask the very simple question of Andy Hart coming up in a second. He's a simple man. And he can answer it for us as it relates to college football this year. But Bill is in Western Mass, waiting patiently, easier for me to say.
Wasting away.
Wasting away on hold. Bill, what's going on, buddy?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Bill.
I just wanted to share a first-hand experience of myocarditis.
Oh, good.
I suffered an attack at 30 years old. And I got to tell you, it stopped me dead in my tracks. It felt like a sword being shoved through my back and into my heart. What it is an inflammation around the heart tissue, and it squeezes your heart. It's a viral infection that you could have from birth. It doesn't necessarily mean if you got the flu that you have it, and anybody can get it. But it's more pronounced in someone who is more energetic or athletic. And there is no cure for it. My doctor told me at the time, I had to go to cardiologists and all this other stuff after it happened, that the only thing you can do is rest, and it will go away on its own, but it could flare up at any time for the rest of my life. I have never had another incident. I'm 46 now. But I can tell you the treatment that they gave me, and I only stayed at the hospital for one night, was nitrogen based on my chest.
Yep.
And morphine, because I had a bad, bad headache. But I went back to work the following week, and my job, I picked up residential trash, so it was very,
it's hard work.
Exerting.
Yeah.
And for 15 more years, I did that, and I had no issues. So I can tell you, if you suffer the attack, it immobilizes you. Like, I couldn't move. It was the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. I thought I was going
to
die.
Well, and it sounds like, Bill, you just had to sort of live with it, which is, if you're an athlete, it sounds, doing what Bill does for a living, picking up residential trash, that's hard anyway. That's a hard,
yes.
That's a hard battle every day. So I don't know if athletes can do the exact same thing, but that sounds like that's more than just a COVID-19 now relating to it, unless we're going to find out in the next couple of months that COVID-19 is one of the viral infections that can just give you myocarditis.
Right, but maybe it is.
Is that possible?
Whether it is or
isn't.
I don't know. If, what, Bill?
Bill in Western Mass, yes. Thank you, Bill.
Who was wasting away on hold.
On hold. We got to him.
The way he articulated it, okay, so you got to rest. Like, we're seeing it with Erod.
3 to 6 months.
Okay. So? Like, it's similar but a longer span as just corona itself.
I guess what I didn't want to ask Bill was, like, could the attack he suffered at age 30, could that have led to his death? Could that have been a cardiac event, cardiac arrest, and just killed him right there?
Right.
I don't know.
But that, again, that happens occasionally. Like, the percentages are key here. We've all learned to really care about positive test rates and hospitalization rates and death rates. And, okay, so the way Bill explained it, by the way, was it's viral and he's had it since birth, or it was in his body since birth.
You can get it since birth, yeah.
So, that happens all the time, too. I get back to the NFL Combine example. Or how about the NFL example that you've always heard? You can fail anybody on a physical if you want. If you want to avoid a trade or whatever, you can fail them if you want, right? They can find something if they look closely enough. It's like a car. The closer you look, wow, your car really needs new spark plugs, a timing belt. That exhaust's going to go soon, right? The closer you
look. We've all done a home inspection where someone looks a little bit closer than the other person.
And you're like,
does.
Damn, yep. I've been living here for 20 years. It seemed fine. It seemed to work just fine for me, right? So it's how closely you look. Now, I'm not minimizing the result. This isn't a home inspection. This is a person who could get sick, could die, whatever. But the closer you look, the more you're going to find. And it gets down to the percentages and the risks versus, well, what's the risk of CTE? What are the numbers? I couldn't tell you, by the way. I don't have this is more of a rhetorical question. But
good. I like when you ask questions on the air, you know the answer.
What percentage of people that play football have long-term head concussions, CTE issues.
So going back to the what's the risk? You can look at that if you're the NFL because they're professionals. I do at some level understand while at college, you're fearful of the headline, even though, like you said, the risk number might be really, really, really low. But do you want to be the chancellor or president of the school where that first player dies from this?
No,
that,
I certainly do
that,
not.
That I think, is, you said fear factor earlier, and you're right. That fear is keeping them awake at night. That's why the West Coast Conference and others just said, you know what, if it's even an issue right now, we are going to bail. It's why they made so many drastic changes in college football in the NFL when it came to concussions, because they were sick of seeing headlines of college players being concussed or dying or being paralyzed.
But can you just be
those
smart?
Players before?
Can you just be smart? Like, can you,
with this,
can
I'm
you
not
take
sure.
The ADA, so. Americans with Disability Act, reasonable accommodations, right, is the term that's used with the Americans with Disability Act. Somebody's disabled, you need to make reasonable accommodations. To me, that is sort of the barometer here. Make reasonable accommodations for paralysis, for CTE. They've changed tackling in recent years, the amount of hitting, things of that nature. Remember when Corey Stringer, was that his name, died at the Vikings?
Vikings? Player, yes.
No.
The offensive lineman who died in training camp?
Should we get rid of training camps? Because it's hot and it's putting stress on. No, what did they do? They made more water breaks. They had cool tents for a while, which I think they've kind of actually gotten rid of since now, where if a player was, you know, seemingly going down the road of overheat, I'll get him in this cool tent. There's mist. It, you know, you make reasonable accommodations to live, to continue to have your sport or your whatever, your industry. That's all I think. Is it reasonable here? Are there reasonable accommodations? Which I think is the Nick Saban, Ed Orgeron sort of argument.
Yep.
Like, we're going to look after them. We're going to be smart. We're going to test. We're going to, you know, maybe we have just a football dorm now that we didn't have before, just an athlete's dorm, whatever. Some places already do that. You know, separate dining hall. We're going to be smart. But we're going to do what we do because we believe, A, we should. It's good for the kids. It's good for our university. It's good for the community. Whatever your reason, financial, I think it's okay to say, yeah, it's financial. There's some financial ramifications here that if we don't do this, we're going to find out it's good for the players. You know what? If they don't play and then they don't get a chance, we saw Joe Burrow. I'd be looking for a job right now if I didn't play last year.
Well, I think that's a huge impact of this. Like, I don't know if they end up going to the XFL, which could, according to reports this morning, could restart this fall.
Ooh, can you smell what the Rock is cooking?
A 6 or 8 team bubble where they play on Saturdays, and college players could decide to forego their junior or senior year if they're really, really good prospects and they're worried about, well, I'm not going to be seen this year. I need to find a place to play. It would make sense to me if I'm going to get paid some money and also give some tape to the colleges. Why wouldn't I think about doing that? Especially if I'm a senior who is only going to make an NFL club next year. If I really prove something this year, there's no. I love college educations, but there's no reason to stay in school. If you're on that borderline, you could become a mid-round draft pick. You're going to play for the Rock in the XFL, or you're going to take part in maybe some NFL-sanctioned spring leagues where they put like a spring league together or some spring senior games where they expand that. Our buddy from the Senior Bowl would love that, right? They do some more of that stuff. Jim Nagy. That might be their only way to get seen and get some college tape this year. Or how about this? How about if I'm a college player at a Big Ten school today and I hear the SEC is going to play? Am I allowed to transfer to the SEC today? Can I go play in the SEC? Why can't I? Well, I need to play. It's safe to play. I can't play. Why can't I play?
Pete Thamel talked about that, and he has talked to people. They think there's going to be some hesitancy just because there's uncertainty everywhere. Okay, the Big Ten is canceled. There's a chance the SEC or the ACC cancel. So now I've transferred. I'm, you know, in a different place. I'm quarantining, and they cancel too. Well, now where am I?
Well, like, what do you?
I don't have a home.
Where do you stand today on August 12th? So there's three big leagues. There's a couple smaller leagues, but the three big leagues from the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC. They have all said. And the Big 12, I guess, will announce today, similar to the other two, we're going to wait and see if we want to play football. We're going to start late September. Does Andy Hart's brain see college football this year, or are we done?
If you make me pick,
yeah.
we're done. Like, I just think...
I wish I disagree.
I blame every...
I wish I disagree.
The lawyers and the money and the insurance and the waivers and those things.
I blame the fear.
That's what I mean, but that's what it is. It's fear of
the optics.
Billion-dollar loss.
On a college campus, a liberal college campus... We're going to go against what Dr. Fauci says.
Right.
Because we're going to support 1%
of
Trump
1%.
By playing college football. He wants it, so we're playing. Trust me, there are people who feel it that way.
Yeah,
that
I'm a little less on the politics side, more on the money litigation, optics man's side. I think it's more in that area that everybody's afraid. I keep making the comparison because these are the major decisions that are being made right now out of fear and numbers and optics and these the schools. I watched my local 2-hour YouTube school committee Zoom meeting. And they kept...
You watched all 2 hours?
I did.
I don't believe you.
I was angry. You should have heard me.
Optics man!
You should have heard me pause. I was in the living room pausing it.
Rip through.
No, I couldn't because I had a game. I wanted to. But I'm pausing it and I'm yelling to my wife like, you can't believe what they just said now! It's effing ridiculous! And going back to it. But they actually articulated, well, we just want more time. We want to see what happens elsewhere. It's like everybody's just afraid to be the first or be the worst, right? Because if you're the first to do it and something goes wrong, well, why were you doing that? Everybody else waited. Why couldn't you do it? Or if you're the worst, you have the breakout. You're the Marlins. You're Oklahoma State and suddenly some kid gets myocarditis and dies from it. Bill said it felt like somebody was stabbing him through the heart and he was going to die. What if somebody actually dies from it? Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. What if? What if I get hit by lightning? What if I get hit by a bus? What if I contract this or that? Or like, if you live in fear... The Brady quote. Remember when all we have is fear itself, to fear but fear itself,
yes,
right?
Yes, quoting FDR.
That he kind of used as a promotional tool for TB12, but isn't there some truth to that? Like, if you're just going to be fearful of everything, you used to take a lot of heat from this on the morning show. Like, not letting your kid play this, not letting your kid climb a tree, not letting your kid do X, Y, Z. Like, if you're going to go down that road, you'll always have an excuse to not let your kid do something.
No, it was concussions in football. My kid's not playing football.
But in general,
he's golfing today.
Painted.
That's safe, right?
What if it hits a tree and comes back?
Well, then he can go to the hospital. He'll be okay.
Concussed. And there it is. It's all downhill.
So the optics of it, you're right. I'm with you. They're not going to get to play this year, but they did the right thing in waiting because they're letting things play out. Because maybe there's a Hail Mary somewhere where, I don't know if it's a vaccine, over-the-counter, whatever, but they do find it safe enough to play. I'd rather you wait than cancel. Or that fear kicked in for the Big Ten yesterday and other conferences, and there was plenty of reasons to wait and hope that you eventually get to a day where it is safe to play. They cancel way too early,
and they can't get way overwhelmed. Like that's the like you're in a certain position collecting good money. Well, tough decisions come with that, right? I've talked about this before with whether you're Marty Walsh, governor. You wanted to be this leader. Well, sometimes leaders have to make tough decisions, and you get a little like. But you have to boil it down. You can't get overwhelmed and freak out. It's like we see coaches on the sideline. You know, Bill, just standing
very
there
stoic,
looking.
Yeah.
Hey, Ernie, he picks it up. Ernie, what do you think? Timeout here? Or, yeah, I don't know, clock's ticking down on a Super Bowl and you don't know what's going on and your gut tells you don't call timeout. So if it goes wrong, you're done. You lost. You made. But you got to trust it and be calm in that situation. Do you think that they're calm right now, Big Ten leaders? Do you feel like they were calm or were they freaking out?
They freaked out and wanted to get in line we care about the kids.
Right.
We care about, instead of saying, you know what, we care about the kids, and because we care about the kids, we're going to wait.
Because the water will be muddy. If you wait and don't play, there will be muddy water. There may be financial ramifications, this, that, but if you play, there will be obvious ramifications. If a kid dies, the kid is dead, right? Like, it's obvious. It's black,
I
it's white.
That's
the
how
scoreboard
works.
Is very simple.
Yeah.
They're doing the Belichickian approach to trades. Well, I traded a second for that guy. Then I traded the second for 3 fours. Then I traded the 3 fours for 4 sevens. Now you can't trace who I traded for Jimmy Garoppolo.
All right, we will come back and update you on a lot of stuff, including a so-so second period for your Bruins. We'll get to that coming up with Mutt and Hart, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Off the post. York a shot with purpose. Richie keeps it alive. Scramble in front. Coyle scores. Edmondson accelerates the puck. Pasternak picks it off. But here's some Brock McGinn on the shorthand. Deeks and scores.
All right. On the scoreboard, kind of a so-so period for the Bruins. They had multiple opportunities to score. They could not get it done. It is Mutt and Hart in for the guys. Through two and the bubble in Toronto, we are tied at two. The first goal there with some controversy. We've watched the replay a couple times here in studio. I think the Bruins got lucky with that goal, Andy Hart. The puck was on the ground. The goaltender, Mrazek, got on top of it. It squirted it out. They should have waved the thing dead. They don't. Bruins get a puck in the net. Charlie Coyle scores, make it 2-1. Didn't matter because 21 seconds later, shorthanded the Carolina Hurricanes, tied it up. You heard the call there from Jack Edwards as Tuukka Rask got smoked. With the one-on-one the other way, Torrey Krug late to make a rotation.
and we are all tied at 2-2 in Toronto, well on our way to an 8-period game this afternoon in the bubble.
I blame you. Today's version of Jeff Howe jinxing this game was mud.
That's okay.
First period, second period, then it'll be over.
Good call with that. 2-2. We disagreed kind of passionately during the break.
People should have been watching on WEEI/watch.
I think they nailed it. Mm. I didn't see one reason for that to be blown dead. He never controlled the puck. Did he?
Not really, but he's being interfered with while he's trying to. There were Bruins players, skates and sticks interfering with him.
Incidental contact,
no,
I would say.
Give me a
all of it. Incidental. It's forceful. It's a physical game.
Bully tactic by the Bruins.
Okay, the big bad Bruins are back then. I wish I could say that. I don't actually believe that. I think it was sort of a little bit of puck luck there. He could not control the puck and whistle the play dead, and they got a good shot out of it. And now the problem is, now again, I'm going to ask the same damn question I asked after period one.
And for the record, you can say ask the question after I tell you this. There were two other big opportunities for the Bruins. David Krejci on the doorstep could not finish. Jake DeBrusk, clank, clank.
Yep, crossbar.
They probably could be up 4-2 with some puck luck.
Because I do feel like they have been the better team, the more aggressive team here. I think they've peppered the goalie pretty well here. And unfortunately, they're in a 2-2 game.
Ice has felt tilted for the Bruins.
It has. Yeah. You've used that line multiple...
I'm going to keep using it.
Yeah,
because that's what... Guess what? That's my hockey phrase of the day that I'm going to overuse to the end of this game.
Okay.
Which may not end forever.
I actually agree with you that the ice has been tilted. The shoddy ice, if it's indeed shoddy ice.
I can't tell if it's shoddy or not today.
But...
I'm trying to do a radio show and also watch at the same time, so...
Just you?
I can't rank the ice. Well, I got to carry you at ports when you start yapping about...
So you got my shots yet?
Watching school committee meetings online.
Sorry that I'm a conscientious community member and parent.
I'm pulling up Game Center as we speak. We don't have the fastest internet here.
No.
Can we get
don't.
The squirrels to speed up the process here? Can we get the squirrels? Okay. Privacy. Had it up earlier, and of course it froze, and now we're resetting. I'll get them here in a second, but
okay.
I'm with you.
So the question I would like to ask you is...
Shots are, 21-9 Bs.
See, it felt that way.
Yep.
I'm glad. I'm always happy when the numbers back up the way I feel. Because if you had said 21-9 Hurricanes, I would say, "Wow, that's awkward." I really, really didn't feel that way. But no, it's felt that way.
9-4 in the first period, Bruins 12-5 in the second period.
Oh yes, and it felt even more so in the second period. Unfortunately, what does the scoreboard say?
It says 2-2.
2-2.
Yep. So you've played well. You've outshot them. You've had a couple of doorstep opportunities. It's still 2-2.
Right, and you had a bad shorthanded goal. That you allowed.
Bruins. Rask should have had that, by the way.
Yes, he should have.
He got smoked.
Which is
that.
Going to be a talking point. We always talk about it.
If they lose because of that goal, Rask is going to get skewered.
He will not. Torrey Krug will for not getting back defensively and making
a
play.
Rask will get skewered. You're out of your mind.
We saw last
first
night.
First time in Boston.
Pastrnak was the one who just threw it across the ice with a Carolina Hurricanes player standing right in the way.
Remember the Atkinson play last night where he didn't get the shot on goal? He had a break in and Hedman took him down for the Maple Leafs and the Lightning. Lightning. Takedown for the Columbus player. Atkinson had zero shots in 40 minutes. Do something there. Make a play.
Yes.
Take him down if you have to.
Yeah.
He got smoked. Nice goal.
I just think in the end, the goalie in general takes the criticism, and Tuukka Rask, more specifically, always takes. I mean, we had a debate yesterday with Dale whether if they win the cup, if like he gets a monkey off his back, or can they win the cup even in spite of him, and he'll still have these haters out there.
I've never gotten the crazy criticism of Rask. I guess I'm a Rask defender. If there's two categories, Rask hater and Rask defender, I'm more of a defender because I don't view what he did last year as the reason why they didn't win a cup. That was not on him. That was on the team in general.
Full team.
He was awesome.
I'm a pro Tuukka guy.
He's been a Vezina Trophy candidate multiple years in a row. And I heard Dale say yesterday, if Tim Thomas doesn't win a cup, Tuukka Rask doesn't get the same criticism he gets here in town.
Yes.
That's a reality. That's
fair. You know what his name is?
Steve Guskowski.
Nailed it. Yeah. See, we got the same page here. Yeah. Didn't take that long.
Well, we talked about it
We
earlier.
Nailed it.
Yeah, we did. Here are some other stats. Give you some other game stats.
You have advanced analytics?
I'll get to those. 0-3 for the Bruins in the power play.
That's unfortunate.
0-2 for Carolina.
Oh, that's good.
Face-off percentage, 63-37 Bruins. So they're dominating the dot. Is that right, Scheim? At the dot, they're dominating if they're winning 63-37 the faceoff center?
That sounds like a domination to me.
Scheim, you know what the beauty of this is? This is one of those examples where my mind is seeing one thing, that the Bruins are controlling the ice and the play. And the numbers, the PFF-like numbers.
Oh, here we go. I don't want to
actually
hear it.
Back it up.
Save your PFF crap for off the
this
air.
This is not the time.
We're not doing it today. Block shot. So Carolina is winning some of the, I would call them the effort categories, okay?
Oh, because they're taking this seriously, and we're still not quite sure how the Bruins are.
16-14 in block shots.
Oh, they want it more.
28-17 in hits.
They want it more.
So they're almost doubling them up in hits.
The
so
more physical team, the more scrappy team.
Some of the more physical numbers, it's Carolina's way.
But that's how they have to win, too, right? Can we agree?
They
we talked about it earlier. The better team.
Heavy game. Right. Heavy game.
Better team
the
is
Columbus
the Bruins.
A year ago, yeah.
The talent is the Bruins.
Yep.
But sometimes in hockey, just like in football, these physical sports, even, you know, the old school days of like the Knicks, you sort of drag it down to a street fight.
Puck luck.
So 2-2 after two. Bruins had two other great opportunities to score with DeBrusk and Krejci. They could not finish. So one that clanked right off the sidebar. The other one hit the crossbar and the sidebar.
I love those.
In and out. Double doink.
Love the double doink.
Scheim does not. Is someone holding a ticket for +120 in regulation to close out a three-team parlay. On top of that, he could use some puck luck right now.
As somebody
overtime
who
does not
just
help
a little
Scheim.
Bit. So I just need a little bit of puck
overtime
luck.
Overtime is not a Scheim friend today.
No, not at all.
As
never
somebody who is quite literally invested in this game, how you feeling?
I feel good. I know the Bruins are getting the chances, right?
Yes.
I know they are dominating this game, and they should win.
But at some point, if you don't maximize your chances, you go home a loser.
Yeah, that's true. But at the same time,
answer,
I also
Chris.
See...
Yes, there's only one answer. Yes, that's true. Yes.
I also see yep. Dale's point as Carolina's not that good.
And yet they're tied after two periods.
Yeah, Bruins made a couple mistakes.
Okay. And maybe they get a little puck luck for the Hurricanes.
Well, they need some here in this final period.
What if the ice tilts the other way?
Then I will make sure I mention it, because that's my phrase of the day here on the program. We will come back with Andy Hart. We'll make fun of Andy for something dummy said months ago, which everyone is still making fun of here at the radio station, both on the air and behind his back. And we'll talk some Patriots here in this final hour as well. 617-779-7937. It is Mutt and Hart. That's his name. In for the boys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.